Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, the NFC Championship, Packers-Falcons, Sunday afternoon. Getting closer here. And the latest on the Packers, I guess the best way to sum it up is this is a banged-up football team, unfortunately, right now. As of Wednesday afternoon, following Wednesday's practice, a number of guys still not on the practice field. Devontae Adams with the ankle injury, Morgan Burnett with the quad injury. Other players as well. Geronimo Allison was held out with a hamstring injury, though he said it was just kind of precautionary. So a lot of injury issues to watch for here as the week continues. And the big one a lot of fans wondering about is Jordy Nelson. We did hear from him in the locker room on Wednesday. What did he have to say?
Yeah, you know, Nelson wasn't making any bold predictions as far as what his availability will be for Sunday's game against the Falcons. But I thought it was really interesting. He really kind of led us into his psyche a little bit. Of what he was going through when that hit happened. And that's what I found to be the most fascinating thing. He did say it was the worst pain he's ever experienced in his life. He wasn't able to enjoy his friend Randall Cobb's Hail Mary at the end of the first half. He said he was kind of doubled over on a trainer's table at that time. Watched it on a monitor, but when the guys came in and were celebrating, he wasn't able to join them. So that part was disappointing for him. But he did say over this last week and a half, he's made progress every day. He's again breathing easier. He's not having issues there. There was no internal damage when they brought him to the hospital for observation. He could have went home if he wanted to, but he finally had found a point of being comfortable. So he just stayed, got a good night's rest in, and then went the next day. We'll see exactly what this week entails. He said he's never played through broken ribs before, and if he did, he probably would have to have some different, extra padding and different precautions. But I mean, the Packers and Jordy Nelson are not closing the door on him being able to return, whether it's this Sunday or potentially down the road here in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's good news. It's good to hear that he's getting better, and that obviously there is nothing injury-wise aside from the cracked ribs, because that certainly could have been worse based on what we saw. It was kind of funny, though. Didn't he say something about when he was at the hospital, he watched the second half of the game on some tiny television screen?
2 by 2 inch, he said. I don't know if it was one of those little handheld ones that you know, you used to have when you were a kid that was like, oh, it's television, but it's not really. But yeah, he did say he was able to watch it. It just was on those little tiny monitors. So in spirit, he was able to be there with his team. And then obviously the Dallas game, he kind of brushed off any taking any credit for his presence, you know, and motivating anybody. But a lot of guys in the locker room did say, I mean, that went a long way, they thought, in terms of just having him there in that atmosphere.
Yeah, the other injury news, Devontae Adams, the word is that, or the hope is that he can practice on Saturday, but that would be the earliest that he would do anything on the field as far as the ankle injury. As I mentioned, Geronimo Allison told reporters just kind of precautionary with holding him out with the hamstring. So, again, a wait-and-see situation there. But with the injuries at receiver, the Packers will still go into this game pretty confident, and a lot of it has to do with what they did in Atlanta the first time down there, which was Jeff Janis scored a touchdown, Allison got his first NFL touchdown, Trevor Davis got his first NFL touchdown, all in that setting, that loud dome with the offense shuffling in and out of a lot of personnel. So there's a lot of confidence here. Don't get me wrong, the Packers would love Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, all these guys to be back, but they still believe with what they have that they can get the job done and put up enough points.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Mike, in how deep they are this season. You get to that game against Arizona last year, they really had their backs up against it when it came to the personnel front. We're almost out, you know, one player away, one injury away of being out of their three receiver sets in that contest. In this case, yeah, maybe you do have some injuries at receiver. Maybe some guys are banged up. But now you have Jared Cook and Richard Rodgers at tight end. Both of those guys can be used in that capacity. We've seen Ty Montgomery line up in the slot when they've needed him there over the last couple weeks. So Aaron Rodgers has multiple guys he can turn to. But like anything, I mean, you want to have the buffet option. You want to have as many different guys available as possible. So whether it is Devontae Adams and the ankle injury or Jordy Nelson and his ribs, they're going to talk to the team doctors, you know, Dr. Pat McKenzie. They're going to try to make the best decision for all these guys. Nelson really praised the training staff and the doctors for making sure everything was on the up and up with him. The question is now, it just comes down to the balance factor in balancing the safety, precautions, everything you need to take into account for him to be effective when he is back out on the field.
Yeah, well, we'll be following that story the rest of the week and probably right up until that 90 minutes before kickoff when the inactive list needs to be turned in. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, in the first segment, I brought up that initial meeting between the Packers and Falcons, excuse me, at the Georgia Dome back on October 30th. We've talked a little bit earlier in the week already about some of the differences of where the Packers and Falcons both are compared to that first game. For the Packers, you have the backfield. Ty Montgomery, Aaron Ripkowski, Christian Michael wasn't even close to being what the backfield was for that first meeting. Same thing in some respects for the Falcons, that Tevin Coleman will be joining Devontae Freeman in the backfield, which was not the case in the first game with Coleman out with an injury. But I think the biggest thing when you look at it is really for the third playoff game in a row, tight end Jared Cook was not a part of the first Packers game against that opponent and will be presumably is going to be a big part of the offense once again.
Yeah, it's really coincidental how that's worked out with, you know, the Giants game, the Cowboys, and now the Falcons game. All three of those were in that window where he was not playing after he sustained that ankle injury in week three against Detroit, which kept him out for 7 weeks if you count the bye. So very unique how this has worked out. But again, Mike, I think you see the difference that he's making. There was one stat I dug up for our insider inbox when someone asked about him this week. If this was a full season, these last nine games, if you prorate that out, he would have been on pace for 69 catches and over 800 receiving yards. That shows you the Jared Cook difference. And let's be honest here. If you go back all these years, Mike, to the very beginning with Aaron Rodgers, this offense has functioned at its best when it has a difference-making tight end.
Yep.
When it has a guy in the middle of the field making plays. You know, obviously, you give a lot of credit to JerMichael Finley. He did that for a number of years. But the amount of different ways that they can use Cook, I give him a lot of credit. I give Ted Thompson a lot of credit and Mike McCarthy. They brought him into this offense. They had a plan for him, and he's followed through.
Yeah, and you talk about a guy who couldn't be more excited about this opportunity in front of him. Even before the first snap of the Giants game in the wild card round, this is a guy who's just on cloud nine, having been through 7 years previously in the NFL without even really getting close to a playoff spot, let's be honest. And so not only does that get added to his excitement, but then playing with Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers is on such a roll and the offense is on such a roll, he's just got to be having a blast out there.
Yeah, and that is something. I mean, we made such a big deal out of that going into the season, the fact that he'd been, I think it was 12 different starting quarterbacks that he had lined up with during his time in both Tennessee and then later on with the St. Louis Rams. And now he finally had that stability. He had a Pro Bowl MVP quarterback that was delivering him the football. And you can see the ways that you can use his talent. I think that last play, Mike, 35, 36-yard pass right along the sidelines, Jared Cook showed a lot of ability, a lot of technique, and a lot of awareness on that play. But also Aaron Rodgers getting him the ball, delivering him the ball, not underthrowing it, not overthrowing it, putting it right where it needs to be. That's chemistry.
Yep.
That's exactly what you're looking for. And fortunately for Cook, now he's finally getting a chance to really get and show that ability.
Yeah, and you can see in these games, ever since Cook came back for the Washington game, that Sunday night game out in D.C., anytime he is split out wide to the outside and it's a clear one-on-one matchup without a bracket coverage or without any kind of extra help over the top, Aaron Rodgers is looking dead serious at that matchup, that's where he wants to go with the football. Now, it hasn't been 100% completions or anything by any means, but boy, a lot of those times when he's going one-on-one against somebody that he's got, you know, 3 inches and 35 pounds on or whatever the measurable difference might be, You like his chances of coming down with it and making a big play.
So the Packers are in, I think it's 18 games now at this point, right? Cook missed six of them. So in those other 12 games, I would challenge you, specifically in the second half of the season, bring up the film. I guarantee you there's at least one play in those things that Rodgers is looking at and going to Cook on a go route.
I would agree.
There aren't a whole lot of tight ends you can do that with in the NFL. He is kind of the exception to the rule with that. And if you're a defensive coordinator, those are things that you have to take into account. You have to be ready that, okay, this might happen. And if you want to dedicate the safety, it could potentially open up something else in the offense. So that's what Cook brings. He can work underneath. He can go long. He can be an H-back. He can be an inline blocker. There's different ways that you can utilize him, and the Packers have benefited from it.
Yeah, and with Green Bay's injury situation at wide receiver, we'll just have to see how much this situation might change the chess match defensively for the Falcons. I mean, if Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams both can't play, and you're going to get more snaps from a Jeff Janis or a Trevor Davis or Geronimo Allison, whatever the case might be, you know, do the Falcons put that many more defensive resources against Cook, which then is going to put the onus on those younger Packers receivers to win one-on-one battles and get open for number 12, because he's got to have somewhere to go with the ball, and he's got to get it out quickly to stay in that rhythm that we've seen him in for so
definitely
long.
Definitely. And when they've needed to rely on those young guys, they've stepped up. One thing I did that think that was kind of funny, when Rodgers was at the podium on Wednesday addressing the media, he said, with in regards to Jared Cook, one of the big question marks when his name came up with Green Bay was his hands. His hands haven't looked too bad during this time with the Packers. And when you display that, when you get that, not only the confidence of Rodgers, but make the defense aware of that, that's where that extra attention comes. That's where, you know, guys start queuing in on you a little bit more. And that's where, honestly, plays like Geronimo Allison and, you know, the opportunities some of these guys have gotten that aren't your everyday household names, that's when they start to bubble up to the surface. And let's be honest, that's when this offense is at its best.
Yeah, no question about it, Wes. Well, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, when we look at the defensive side of things with this Packers-Falcons matchup, two defenses that really kind of righted the ship, so to speak, in similar ways. And what I mean by that is starting to generate turnovers. The Falcons, after their late bye week, they've had now, I believe the number is 13 turnovers generated by the defense in their last seven ball games. And I don't remember exactly what the Packers' number is during the eight-game winning streak, but it's significant. And we had talked before about all the interceptions against Seattle and whatnot. And turnovers will definitely play a big part in the NFC title game. But the flip side of it is these are two offenses that don't give the ball away a whole heck of a lot. So maybe it comes down to even just one turnover if one defense is able to cause the other offense to make that one uncharacteristic mistake, could turn the whole game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, this is one of these things, when you look at how a season plays out, how it progresses, you start to notice trends develop. The Packers' trend has just been protecting the ball 100%, or I guess 98%, in finding innovative ways to take it away. They've done it every single possible conceivable way to right the ship here in these last 8 weeks. If you look at Dom Capers, he said, I mean, these players are going to come. We believe in that. The system is made. If guys stay true to themselves, true to their fundamentals, they're going to get opportunities to make plays. And that's happened in the second half of the year. And a credit to Aaron Rodgers and his skill position players and how they've protected the football, not giving away those extra opportunities and converting a lot of them into points. From Atlanta's perspective, tied for the fewest giveaways in the league this year with 11, Matt Ryan has been just absolutely surgical. We've talked about it earlier this week, but his quick release and still not making mistakes really is impressive, because you saw what happened with Dak Prescott when he tried to do the quick bubble screen.
Yep.
Sometimes those things can get snuffed out. They're not as easy as they look. And Ryan has done an exemplary job of, when the plays aren't there downfield, of utilizing his underneath receivers, utilizing his running backs. And that's one of the reasons why both of these teams are in this position now I don't think it's any coincidence that the Packers were whatever it was, minus six or seven, when they were 4-6 in the turnover margin.
Right.
And then they finished the year, I think it was plus five or plus six.
Plus six, maybe.
It's that turnover, and it really goes a long way in being able to win games.
Yeah, you mentioned the number with the Falcons, just 11 giveaways on offense, 11 turnovers from their offense all season long. The Packers had some turnover issues offensively early on, but during this eight-game winning streak now, just two.
Yeah.
With the fumbled snap against Houston and then Rodgers having his interception-free streak snapped in Dallas. It's just interesting statistically that you have two defenses that have started to build their reputation on taking the ball away, but now it's two offenses that have really protected the football extremely well. You mentioned the interception of Prescott on the bubble screen. You know, you wonder if it's just going to be one of those plays where somebody has done all that extra film study and they know exactly what's coming and they time it just right and jump a route, whatever the case might be. You know, that could be the turnover that changes the ball game.
Yeah, no doubt, Mike. And this is something too I thought was really interesting. Someone in the Insider inbox had asked me earlier this week. You know, in a game like this, do you have to try to do more? Do you have to do different things to try taking the ball away when you know how efficient Ryan can be? And I think the biggest key is not getting outside of yourselves. It goes back to something that Darren Perry and HaHa Clinton Dix both talked about after Clinton Dix was named to the Pro Bowl, in that you use all this information that you get, all these years, knowing other people's positions, everything that you develop, and you use that to make a calculated decision, to make a gamble, a risk. But you also don't do things that put your defense in jeopardy. When this defense has been able to take away the football, I think that's been the key, executing on the opportunities that are in front of you and not trying to fabricate something that might not be there.
Yeah, and when we look at that first meeting back on October 30th, on that final drive, the Falcons go down and get the game-winning touchdown. The Packers had two key opportunities for the turnover that would have won the game. Ladarius Gunter jumps a hot route when Dom Capers calls a blitz, jumps the hot route to the side to Mohamed Sanu, I think it was, and is right there with a chance to pick it off and, you know, isn't quite able to get it. Then a few plays later, there's a seam route down the middle to Julio Jones in some traffic. Jones isn't able to come up with it as he crashes to the ground, and the ball kind of deflects and is hanging there just a couple feet off the ground just for that split second. And HaHa Clinton Dix just missed getting his hands on the ball. Those are the kinds of plays, and in that game in particular, if the Packers make one of those two plays, they win that game. They don't lose by 1 point, and that's what Sunday afternoon could come down to as well.
And when you're facing the league's highest-scoring offense, the league's most productive offense in terms of yardage, it's going to be about taking advantage of those opportunities. I have to imagine that's Dom Capers' message throughout this week going into this game, is execute on those chances and be able to take care of the football.
Definitely. Well, with that, we'll go to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, one of the Packers players we heard from at the podium in the Lambeau Field Auditorium on Wednesday was veteran defender Julius Peppers. And it was interesting because he knew what questions were coming. He knew there were going to be questions about his future. Is this his last season? Chasing the elusive Super Bowl ring that he has yet to win. How badly do you want to get that before the end of your career? And he just wasn't going to go there on any of those questions. He just continued to say, my focus is on preparing to beat the Atlanta Falcons. And I know that players say that. They always say that kind of thing. Honestly, looking at Peppers at the podium yesterday, I really believe it. I don't think he's thinking at all about whether this is the last game or games of his NFL career. He's not thinking about the Super Bowl. He's just thinking about going into the Georgia Dome on Sunday and playing the best football he can.
Yeah, I don't think, and I don't think that is just an act, you know, being at the podium in front of media. I don't think in the locker room either he's giving any, win one for the Gipper kind of, speeches. This is about this football team. It's about this football team getting back to the Super Bowl. He said afterwards, he's not, the storybook ending, all that'll get figured out. If it happens, it happens.
Right.
But his focus right now, it all has to be on Atlanta, because if they don't beat Atlanta, that narrative doesn't matter. And I'll be honest with you, too. If they do beat Atlanta, that is the narrative that's going to infiltrate the next 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl.
No
so
doubt.
If you flash back to 2014 and the week leading up to the Seahawks game, 74.8% of the questions that were asked on Wednesday were also asked back then as well.
Yeah.
It's just the way that things are when you're, you know, mid-30s and at what appears to be the horizon, the autumn of your career. So the way I think Peppers looks at it, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but there's a lot of guys on this team that haven't won Super Bowl rings. He's just one of them.
Yeah.
So if it happens, it happens. Great. That's the goal. That's the one thing he's yet to achieve in his NFL career. But he also isn't making this about himself. This is about the football team trying to achieve its goal.
Definitely. And that being said, you talk about a guy who is as aware as anyone of how rare these opportunities can be. He goes to a Super Bowl second year of his career in Carolina. And as we've talked about before, like any guy in that situation, they lose right at the gun to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You think, okay, well, we'll be back next year. You know, we're coming back. He hasn't been back.
No.
You know, he gets to an NFC championship in 2010 with the Bears, loses to the Packers, gets to the championship game again in 2014 with the Packers, lose in overtime in Seattle. He knows, regardless of how much longer his career is going to go, he knows that these opportunities don't happen every day, and it's all about trying to seize this one right in front of him.
Yeah, what's interesting, Mike, I remember doing a story on the 2010 rookie class in Green Bay. Even when they won the Super Bowl, all those guys, a majority of them saying, yeah, we just thought this is the way it's going to be every year. even if you win a Super Bowl in your rookie year, it's never guaranteed again. That's the precious thing about that, and I think that's the sense of urgency everybody talks about. Inside that locker room, guarantee you these guys want to win this thing for him still.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Well, with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. At Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.